California, we present Gene Herschel in a new Dr. Christian play called Little Sweetheart, brought to you by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly for first aid, Vaseline Hair Tonic for the care of the scalp and hair, and other Vaseline specialties. If someone offered you a free trip to the World's Fair this summer, either New York or San Francisco, with $150 in cash for spending money, would you go? Well, that's practically what we're doing on this program tonight. 100 such trips, or $250 in cash instead, are the first prizes in a new easy contest, which you will hear more about later. And listen to this. In addition to the 100 World's Fair trips, there are 5,000 valuable second prizes. The opportunity of a lifetime, and you can enter as many times as you wish. So don't miss the announcement of the contest rules at the end of this program. The curtain is going up now on the Dr. Christian drama, Little Sweetheart, starring Gene Herschelt in his most famous role, the country doctor. The opening scene takes place in the doctor's private office, where Mayor Hewitt, Mrs. Browning, president of the 20th Century Poets Club, and Judy, the doctor's secretary, are gathered round the cozy fireplace, discussing plans for raising additional funds for the new hospital now nearing completion on the hill at the bend of the river.
Oh, there's no question but what the 20th Century Poets Club is interested, Dr. Christian. I'd even go so far as to say they're deeply interested. But you know what fundraising campaigns are.
There's never been a worthier cause than this, Mrs. Brown.
Oh, of course not. Everyone feels sorry for little lame kiddies.
Oh, there's no sense in feeling sorry for them. The thing to do is to help them.
Well, you've certainly been helping them, Dr. Christian. The amount of free care you give children in this town.
Oh, I can take care of the diagnosis and prescribe treatment. But what's the sense of ordering braces for a boy whose family can't afford to buy them, or light treatments for babies whose families never even heard of a sun lamp?
Well, there's a sun lamp on the list for the hospital.
But there's only one, and it won't be available for charity cases, Mrs. Browning. Dr. Christian's going to go on with the work the way he wants to. The children's clinic must have equipment of its own.
I thought the citizens' committee was going to take care of that.
You know, they wanted to, but they have their hands full with the school program. They've arranged to serve hot lunches at the school restaurant.
It looks as though it was up to the 20th Century Poets Club, Mrs. Browning.
Well, I'll take your proposal to the ladies and see what they say.
But surely they'll want to raise the money when they understand how important it is.
They don't. Let them come and spend a day at the clinic. No one could look at those thin, twisted little bodies and not want to help.
The 20th Century Poets Club of River's End, Miss Price, is a very busy organization. We have our weekly cultural meetings, and we have a series of readings scheduled.
But surely, Mrs. Browning, a thing like this is...
I shall make no promises. If the club members feel that they wish to undertake a campaign of this sort, they... Heavens, is that clock right? I shall be late for my Emerson class.
Let me help you with your coat.
Oh, thank you. We meet in groups, you know, for really serious study. The Emerson group is my favorite. There's so much meat in his writings, I always say.
I should think a group which really studies Emerson would be a fine nucleus for the campaign committee.
Well, I don't see why. Now, what did I do with my rubbers?
They're right here.
Oh, thank you, yes. Well, now I guess I've got everything. I've got to hurry. I'll be late as it is.
I do hope you'll decide to undertake the campaign, Mrs. Browning.
Well, maybe we will. It means a big responsibility. I'll let you know if we decide. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Well... There goes our campaign.
Oh, don't say that. We'll organize the younger women. And I know the very person to do it.
Who is she, Judy?
Pauline Palmer.
Pauline Palmer? Why, she's not in Weber's End.
Yes, she is. She's visiting her aunt. She got here this morning.
Pauline Palmer? They moved to New York, didn't they?
Hmm.
Why, I haven't seen her since she was a child.
Oh, she comes back here to visit occasionally. She's engaged to Leith Morgan.
Little Polly Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
What made you think of her, Judy?
Oh, because she'd be perfect. All the younger crowd are crazy about her. And she's awfully capable and used to running things.
Polly Palmer. Why, I used to hold on my knee when she was about so high. Her father was very good to her, struggling young doctor. I've never forgotten it. I'll be glad to see Polly again.
Yes. She was a beautiful little girl.
She's more beautiful now. She's really stunning. Always having her picture in the paper at Palm Beach or... lunching in New York or a costume ball.
And you think she'd be bothered with this hospital campaign?
Oh, yes. Polly takes things like this very seriously.
Yeah, well, who's going to ask her?
I am. I'll ask her tonight.
But do you think we shoot Judy?
Of course.
What are you going to say? After all, why should she be interested?
Oh, I'm going to say, Dr. Christian needs a fund for the children's ward. Polly, would you like to raise it for him? And I'll bet you she says yes. reporting for team number 7, $75.
Mm-hmm. Helen, what's yours?
Reporting for team number 9, $60.
Good.
Yeah. And reporting for my own team number 10, $125.75.
Oh,
but girls, we've got to do better than this.
Well, it's really a bad time of year for a campaign, Polly. Everybody feels poor, and there's been a lot of sickness.
Well, all the more reason why they should appreciate the hospital.
I know. But what can you say when they tell you that...
You know, people can always think up a good excuse for not giving. You've got to make them want to give. Heavens, girls, this isn't only an act of charity to poor children. It's a guarantee of health for all of River's End. It's a promise of better citizens in the future.
You've been talking to Dr. Christian.
Well, it's true, isn't it?
Of course it's true. And if Dr. Christian wants a fund for the children's clinic, I think it's up to this town to give it to him.
What we need is someone to get to the older people. If we could only get the 20th Century Poets Club to work with us.
Oh, we'd get them easily enough if they had someone beside Mrs. Browning for president.
Why, they used to do a lot for the town.
I know, but that was when Mrs. Morgan was president, before Mrs. Browning's time. Honestly, that woman...
Would it do any good if I talked to her?
Well, you might try, but I...
Now, if they would join us with half a dozen teams that would really work, we could put this campaign over in no time. I'm going up to see her, girls. We've got to put this over.
I know it. Well, I've got a dash. I've got four people to see this afternoon.
Oh, I have to dash, too. Anybody going my way?
Wait, I'll come to the door with you. Oh, here comes Dr. Paul now.
He probably wants to know how the campaign reports are going.
Ha ha, you mean he's probably looking for me.
I'll let him in. Oh, come on in, Dr. Paul.
Hello, Polly. Why, hello, Judy.
Hello.
And Helen.
Hello, Dr. Christian.
Well, this doesn't look like any place for a mere man. Maybe I'd better stop some other time, Polly.
Oh, no, come on in, please. I'll protect you.
The meeting's over. I'll run right back to the office.
We're all just going anyway. Goodbye, Polly.
Goodbye.
I'll phone you tonight.
Bye. Okay. Good luck, Polly.
Goodbye, girls. Keep up the good work.
Goodbye.
Come in, on in by the fire, and I'll give you some tea. The girls left a few cakes.
No, Polly. Don't bother. I just stopped to talk to you for a moment.
No, I'll put another log on the fire.
Oh, let me do it.
Thank you.
Well, how was the meeting?
Oh, it was all right.
What's the total today?
I haven't really figured it up. But we'll get the money, Dr. Christian. Don't you worry.
No, I'm not worrying, Polly. Only, well, this whole plan seems very important to me.
Oh, of course it does. Doing things for other people has always seemed important to you, hasn't it, Dr. Paul?
Why, I don't know.
I remember when I was just a little girl and... You used to come to the house and talk to Dad. How wonderful I thought you were.
Did you, Polly?
Yes. You were always so kind and so gentle. I was really glad when I was six, so you'd come to see me instead of my father.
Well, that's real admiration.
Do you remember what you used to call me?
Oh, of course I do. I used to call you my little sweetheart.
Well, after we moved away, I used to talk about you all the time. I used to say I was going to grow up and come back here someday and... marry you.
Yes, and now you've grown up and come back and you're going to marry Leith Morgan.
Who told you that?
Oh, things get around, Polly. Leith's away at law school, isn't he? Well, he's a mighty fine boy.
But it's not true. I'm not going to marry him.
No?
No.
Oh, well, you're young yet. You have plenty of time to think about it.
Oh, I'm not so young.
Well, you seem very young to an old fellow like me.
Dr. Paul, I wish you'd stop talking about yourself like that.
Like what?
Calling yourself old. You're not old. You're not old at all. Why, you could go away from River's End and start a brilliant career for yourself right now.
Ah, what do I want with a brilliant career, Polly? I've got all I care for right here.
Well, that's just it. You're loaded down with care here. Everybody's care. That's what makes you feel old. If you just think about yourself for a while...
I like my work, Polly.
Oh, but it isn't fair. You spend your whole life doing things for other people. You make everybody else in the world seem selfish and cheap.
Oh, other people do the same thing. Now look at you, out here for a rest and a vacation. What are you doing? Working yourself to death.
Oh, I'm not working myself to death. I love it.
Of course you do. That's just what I mean.
But I don't love it for the reasons you think I do.
No, you love it because you're one of the sweetest, most unselfish girls I've ever known.
Oh, I'm not.
Oh, now, don't belittle yourself, Polly. You and I have been together a great deal lately. The doctor gets to be a pretty good judge of character. I think you've been wonderful, the way you planned this campaign and took hold of everything. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, how I feel about it, and about you. I love you for what you've done here these last 3-4 weeks.
Dr. Paul, do you really mean that?
Oh, of course I mean it, child. You were such a lovely little girl, Polly, and you've grown up to be just as lovely a young woman.
But what you said about the way you feel about me.
Of course.
You mean it? You really mean it?
Why, yes.
Oh, you did know. You did guess.
Guess what?
Guess why I broke my engagement to Leith. Why I stayed on here.
No, I don't know why you did that, Polly.
Oh, it's too marvelous, too wonderful to be real. It's having something you've dreamed of all your life suddenly come true.
What is, Polly?
You love me. And I thought you didn't care, that you never could care.
But, Polly, I didn't. Well, you mustn't.
Don't say anything more, please. Please, until I tell you something. Oh, I'm so happy.
Oh, but you don't understand.
Listen, Paul, my own darling, Dr. Paul, I love you, too.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of our Dr. Christian drama called Little Sweetheart. Tonight, we're offering every one of the Dr. Christian listeners an opportunity to win a free trip to either the New York World's Fair or to the San Francisco Fair, first class all the way, plus $150 for spending money. Or instead of the trip, $250 in cash. And there'll be not one, but 100 winners of first prizes. Yes, 100 grand first prizes and 5,000 worthwhile second prizes, which you can try for. Why would you like to spend your 1939 vacation at the World's Fair? Your answer to that simple question may win you a luxurious trip free to whichever one you'd rather see. At the end of this program, you'll hear how easy it is to enter this exciting new contest. It's curtain time for Act Two of our Dr. Christian play, Little Sweetheart. The scene is again laid in the doctor's office, where Judy is chattering happily about the success of the hospital drive. The doctor is not so happy, however.
Polly's been wonderful, and this last week she's been like a dynamo. Simply inspired everybody. She doesn't act as though her heart were broken. Maybe she's in love again.
In love?
Hmm. Yeah, you know, she broke off her engagement to Leith Morgan the first week she was out here. We all thought they were crazy about one another, and then all of a sudden, Polly sends back his ring.
Judy.
Yes, Dr. Christian?
Judy, I guess I need some advice.
Oh, well, everybody in this town's been coming to you for advice for years. It's your turn now. Advice about what?
Judy, this is absolutely confidential.
Oh, of course.
I don't know how to talk about it, even to you.
Oh.
Well, I've got to do something. Oh, hang it all. I feel like a murderer.
Well, Dr. Christian, you're really worried about something, aren't you? I'm sorry. Please tell me.
It's Polly.
Oh, she's come to you about her love affair?
Yes.
Oh, don't worry, Dr. Christian. Leith Morgan's a grand person. And really in love with Polly. They'll get it straightened out. You know, I have an idea. Polly imagines she's fallen in love with someone else for the moment.
Yes, yes, that's just it.
Oh, she'll get over it. Though I must say, I think whoever it is pretty low to break in on an engagement like that.
Well, maybe he couldn't help himself.
Ah, any man can help himself.
Can he?
Well, of course. I haven't much respect for a man who breaks up a romance when he knows two people are engaged to be married. Couldn't have much principle. Who is he, Dr. Christian?
Me.
What?
I said, I'm the man you think is so low. I'm the villain.
You? Dr. Christian, what do you mean?
Judy, Polly imagines that she's in love with me. Oh, well, don't laugh. It isn't funny.
Well, I'm not laughing. It just took me by surprise.
Oh, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. Well, I shall have no peace until she gets over this crazy idea, until she's happily married to this Morgan boy or somebody else who is her own age. Who's right for her.
Oh, but how did she...
Oh, she misunderstood me entirely, Judy. Why, if I'd dreamed that she'd take what I said about being grateful to her this way, why, I'd... I'd have cut my tongue out first. Judy, she's serious. She means this, and... Well, I haven't the courage to tell her the truth.
Oh, but can't you explain?
Oh, how can I? Without hurting her. Without humiliating her horribly.
Oh, it's tragic.
And I walked the floor for a week, trying to figure out how to tell her. I can't hurt her, Judy. I've got to go now. I'm late for my calls. But you are a girl. Maybe you can figure out something.
Well, I'll try. Here are your things. Don't worry, Dr. Christian. It'll work itself out some way.
I suppose so. But, oh, why did it have to happen?
Oh, dear. Hello? Oh, hello, Polly. No, Dr. Christian's gone. He left just this minute. Oh, you have been to see Mrs. Browning? Well, oh, won't she? Well, honestly, I didn't think it was much use, Polly. Well, come on down. Don't try to tell me over the phone. Bye.
Dr. Christian in?
No, he isn't.
I've got to see him. When will he be back?
Well, I don't know exactly. His office hours are over for the day. Was it something important, Lee?
Oh, you must think I'm a perfect bum barging in this way, Judy. Not even saying hello to you, but... Well, I'm pretty upset. How are you, anyway?
Well, I'm fine. What are you doing in River's End? I thought you were at law school.
Well, I am. I came home to see what went on here.
What went on?
I suppose you know Polly Palmer's here for a visit.
Oh, yes. She's running our campaign for the new hospital.
Yeah, that's what she says. She's here having a love affair with Dr. Christian. That's what she's doing.
Liz Morgan, how can you say such a thing?
Well, it's true. She's broken our engagement.
Oh, why blame Dr. Christian?
Because it's all his fault. He's deliberately fascinating
her. Oh, Leith, he hasn't. Why should you blame him? Polly's old enough to know her own mind.
Not when a smoothie like Dr. Christian makes it up for her.
Oh, Leith, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, if they think I'm going to take it lying down, they're mistaken. Polly's engaged to me,
Leith,
and I...
Leith, please. Polly's been working herself sick on this hospital campaign. Things aren't going so well. Don't upset her until it's over with, and until she has a chance to straighten things out in her own mind, decide what she wants.
And by that time, the doctor's sitting pretty.
Oh.
Oh, no. I'm taking Polly away right here and now. And if she won't go home tomorrow, I'm going to telephone her father and tell him the whole story and ask him to come and get her.
Well, I doubt if he'll do that. But if you do get Polly to go home tomorrow, Leith, you'll lose her.
No, I won't. Once I get her away from this place...
If you take her that way, it'll be worse than ever. Leith, Polly probably isn't... truly in love with Dr. Christian, but she is idealizing him, and even you can't fight the picture of him she has in her mind.
Oh.
A romantic idol she's had ever since she was a little child. Now, Dr. Christian understands that.
Well, then why doesn't Dr. Christian
tell... Because he wants to try to protect her against herself. He's thinking about her.
You mean he's thinking about...
Oh, don't ask me questions, Leith. I just mean that, well, the only thing Polly cares about right now is putting the campaign over. If she can do that, why
you think maybe then I'd have a chance again?
I think you might have, so don't quarrel with her, Leith. Be sweet to her. Try to help her.
All the awful women, Judy. I was never so angry in all my life. How they ever came to elect Martha Browning president of the only women's club here in this town, I'll never... Oh, Leith. Where did you come from?
Hello, Polly. I had a few days vacation. I came home to see Mother.
Oh, how nice. How is your mother?
She's very well, thank you.
Well, I wish she were still president of the Poets Club. Then I bet we'd get some action. Judy, that awful Mrs. Browning won't do a thing.
Oh.
She hasn't made any effort to help us at all. She says she's interested in the cultural instead of the charitable aspects of the club. I've been up there for an hour, actually begging her, but she won't give in. Judy, if she doesn't, we can't possibly put over the campaign.
I know. We have to have those older women.
I just can't bear it.
You mean you want the members of the Poets Club to help you raise money and Mrs. Browning won't organize them?
Yes.
Well, I bet Mother would organize them for you like a shot.
But when she retired, she said she'd done her share. She'd never organize another campaign.
Well, maybe she said that, but she never meant it. Why, Mother raising money for good works is just like an old fire horse answering a three-alarm fire.
Lee, do you really think she'd do it?
Of course she will, if I ask her to. Now, you come along, Polly. We'll go up and tell her about it right now. If you wanted to put over a campaign like this, why didn't you send for me in the first place?
Oh, Dr. Christian, let me offer my congratulations. Isn't it just too wonderful the campaign is such a success?
Yes, it's very gratifying.
And now you can have the clinic. I felt ever since we talked about it all that day in your office that in some way River's End must meet this need.
Well, River's End has done it, Mrs. Browning. Thanks to the hard-working campaign committee.
Oh, that I had more time for such activities. But our dear, dear Mrs. Morgan has proved so capable.
Yes, indeed she has. She and Polly Palmer deserves a great deal of credit.
Polly Palmer? Oh, yes. Is Polly Palmer going to be in River's End long, Dr. Christian?
I really don't know.
Oh. One hears such strange things. Dr. Christian, is it true that she's broken off her engagement with that Morgan boy?
I know nothing about Miss Palmer's personal affairs, Mrs. Browning.
Oh, I thought you did. Dr. Christian, I understood.
Whatever it was, I'm sure you were mistaken. You'll have to excuse me now, Mrs. Browning. I must go into the meeting. Judy. Judy!
Oh, you better get in there in a hurry. They're about ready to start.
I suppose so. Judy, has Polly said anything to you about Leith?
No, but they've been together an awful lot. Dr. Christian, please stop worrying.
Oh, I can't help it. I can't even be happy about the campaign. Judy, what do you think?
You just have to wait and see. Listen, get in there now. That's the last of the reports.
Well, all right, I suppose. Come along with me, Judy. I believe I've got a case of stage fright.
Oh, don't let it get you. I'll stand by. Oh, listen, there's Polly.
And this last and final report puts it over the top. It gives us a sum sufficient to finance the children's clinic of the new hospital for a full year and to provide the staff to service it. And also to present to Dr. Paul Christian, as the gift of the special committee, the complete equipment for the office, operating, and treatment rooms. Dr. Christian, will you come forward and receive the check, which, as chairman of the committee, I'm very proud to offer on behalf of those who appreciate the wonderful work you have done and are doing for the sick and crippled children here in River's End.
Thank you, Polly Palmer. And all of your committee who have worked so hard and so faithfully. I can only say that at the hospital we shall endeavor to use this fund carefully and wisely, and that I give you all not only my official but my personal thanks. For you have given me the thing I wanted most, a chance to go on with our work for the children.
Oh, Dr. Christian, I think it's just too wonderful.
Thank you.
Dr. Christian, it has been a privilege to be on the committee.
Well, you've done marvelous work.
When will the clinic be open?
Well, we can't tell yet exactly.
I'd like to volunteer so much time every week to help with those crippled children.
And so would I. You know, there's nothing like a child.
Judy, where did Polly go?
She ran into the office, right through that door.
I'll go and see her. Polly. Polly.
Yes.
Polly, I was looking for you. Polly, why are you crying?
Oh, relief, I guess. Oh, Dr. Paul, right up to the last minute, I was so afraid we wouldn't raise the money. And I wanted to more than I'd ever wanted anything.
Why, bless you, Polly.
I'd have died if I hadn't been able to get it for you.
Well, you did get it. It's marvelous. Oh, Polly, don't take it this way, so seriously.
Oh, but it is serious. Dr. Paul, I've got to tell you something.
Yes?
You don't know what it's meant to me coming back here and seeing you and working with you this way.
Polly, I wanted to...
There's never been anybody in the world like you, Dr. Paul, and there never will be.
Oh, that's nonsense. Polly, you're simply imagining
Let me go
that...
on, please. There's something I've got to make you understand, and it's awfully difficult.
What is it, Polly?
Dr. Paul, would it wreck your life if I didn't marry you?
You mean you changed your mind about me, Polly?
No, oh no, not about you, but about me. Dr. Paul, I'm not good enough to be your wife. I love you with all my heart, but I'm awfully young yet, and I suppose I'm silly, Leith says I am. I'd make you awfully unhappy.
Polly, are you trying to tell me that you want to marry Leith after all?
I'm trying to tell you that maybe it's for the best. Even when people are deeply in love, they have to give up one another sometimes, don't they?
Yes.
It isn't always the one you love most you should marry. Sometimes it's the one who needs you most.
That's true, Polly.
And you don't need me at all. It's Leith who needs me. He's made me see that.
I I can't do anything but respect your decision, my dear.
Oh, I knew you'd say that.
And I hope you and Leet will be very, very happy.
Oh, we will be. He's wonderful in his way, too. Dr. Paul.
Yes, Polly.
Will you come to our wedding?
Yes.
Oh, life's very difficult, isn't it, Dr. Paul?
Sometimes.
I've got to go home tomorrow. Will you think about me once in a while?
I'll think about you very often, Polly.
And I'll think about you, too. I love Lisa a lot, Dr. Paul. But all my life I've thought you were the dearest man in the world. I'll go on thinking so forever.
And the curtain comes down on Gene Herschold's Dr. Christian play for tonight. Mr. Herschold will be out here to greet you in person in just a moment. Now, pay close attention to these simple rules, and you may travel in style to the New York World's Fair or the San Francisco Fair with all expenses paid. First, write a letter which starts this way. I want to see the New York World's Fair because... And state your reasons in 50 words or less. Or, if San Francisco appeals to you more, then write your letter accordingly. Second, enclose with your letter a carton, wrapper, or a facsimile of the label from any item which carries the trademark Vaseline, such as Vaseline jelly, Vaseline hair tonic, or any one of the Vaseline products, or one from any Colgate Palmolive toiletry. Then mail your entry to Vaseline Products, 17 State Street, New York City, before midnight, May 15th, when the contest closes. Write this address down. Vaseline Products, 17 State Street, New York City. Convenient entry blanks with all the rules are available at your favorite drugstore or by mail. But your answer on plain paper is perfectly acceptable. Now, follow those two simple rules, and you can enter the contest as many times as you wish. A few minutes right now may win you the vacation of a lifetime at the World's Fair of your choice. The artists you heard tonight included Miss Gloria Holden in the role of Polly Palmer, Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price, Gerald Moore as Mayor Hewitt, Myra Marsh as Mrs. Martha Browning, James Eagles as Leif Morgan, and Lorraine Edwards as Helen Tuttle. Now our star is coming to the microphone, Mr. Gene Herschold as Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, what kind of story have you for us for next week?
It's called Mr. Meeks.
Mr. Meeks? Well, does he inherit the earth?
That's according to your point of view. Mr. Meeks thought he had a lot, but Mrs. Meeks had other ideas. Anyway, it makes a very good play, and I recommend it to all the women in the world who wants to make us men folks over.
We'll be looking forward to it, Dr. Christian, at the same hour next week.
And until next Tuesday evening, I'll say good night.
Closing our Dr. Christian program, we send greetings and best wishes to the American Legion, celebrating their 20th birthday this week. Be sure to listen to Gene Herschold's Dr. Christian drama for next Tuesday night, called Mr. Meeks. We know you'll enjoy it. This is Arthur Gilmore bidding you good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System. Broadcasting System.